Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Soarin' to Tower. We are ready for takeoff. Everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. We have an incredible show, and I say that all the time, but this week I seriously mean it. It's incredible. We are trying to break Blab. If you're watching it live, we have several guests. We are so excited. But before we do that, we have a couple pieces of housekeeping we'd like to let you know. Please, if you're listening to us on iTunes, or even if you're not, please go over to iTunes and give us a rating. Let us know what you like. That really helps us out, and we appreciate it greatly. Also, if you would come over to DisneyParksPodcast.com, sign up for our newsletter. We send out every week, and we put a lot of great information there. And we put a lot of information that is not normally in the blog or on the website or in the podcast. So we want to make sure that you sign up for that. It lets you know when we're having special events, when we're going to be on Blab Live. We want to make sure that you get that. So please sign up for our newsletter. And the last little piece of housekeeping is, if you love what we do, if you want to help keep the podcast coming to you guys live, if you wouldn't mind, go over to patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast. Which there's also a link on the website, by the way, and just help us support the show. That helps us out. Hosting is not cheap. There's a lot of things that we're trying to do that we're going to need some support, and anything that you guys can give, we would appreciate that. And as you feel generous, we have some incredible rewards that we're trying to give back to you guys. So patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast, and that would help us out. All right, that's enough of the housekeeping. Like I said, we have a full house of awesome people. And why don't we go ahead and start off with you, Raphael?
Hey, guys. My name is Raphael of TheMouse.com, and I'm so thankful to be back here on Disney Parks Podcast with a full house. And I'll kick it over to Aljon and Kristen.
Did you say full house?
I know, right?
Cut that.
No.
Well, go ahead, Kristen.
I'm Kristen from Dining at Disney.
And I'm Aljon from JediMouseketeer.com. And we are also Sorcerer Radio DJs, hosting the WDW Tiki Room show on Sorcerer Radio. And we also are, you know, bloggers and podcasters. And she's the host of... Go ahead.
I said Dining at Disney.
Oh, well, she's also a podcast.
Oh, too, okay. Right? Oh, Disney podcast, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Can't you tell we're a married couple?
They finish each other's sentences.
That's right. It's good time. So yeah, we have fun. We're Disney fans, yeah. Guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no, thank you all for taking your time out to come, because I know time is something we don't get a lot of.
No. Oh, hanging out with friends is cool enough. So
yeah. Well, we do this in real life too, so that's the problem. Which is a good problem. All right, so this week we're going to talk about all the crazy things that we think may be coming to Walt Disney World in 2016. And, you know, there's some things that, you know, kind of didn't make it to my list, or, you know, things that I don't think are going to happen in 2016, but, you know, are going to happen sometime in the future, you know, 2017, 18, 19, 20, 2020. Maybe, but we're going to try and stick to just next year and focus on those things. So let's start with the Magic Kingdom. And anybody that has, you know, something on their list that they think is going to you know, come in the Magic Kingdom in 2016, anybody want to start?
Yeah, I mean, the Magic Kingdom to me is the theme park with the least amount of things to look forward to next year, because you do have the Skipper's Canteen opening up just in a few days, probably, here at Disney, at the Magic Kingdom. But then you also have, on October 1st, they're going to be celebrating the 45th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom. But we really don't have an idea of what they'll do. That if the 30th at Epcot was any indication as to what they'll do, it's not.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, I too had the cantina. And, you know, there's a rumor going around that's going to happen before Christmas. And then there's a rumor going around that it's going to happen after Christmas.
I would hope, you know, if it were speculative, we could see.
Yeah, probably. I think they would be foolish not to open it before Christmas, you know, to kind of help with all the restaurant pain that's in the Magic Kingdom. But and even Raphael, the anniversary of the 45th, they really didn't do anything great for the 40th. They just brought out some cast members, shot off some fireworks, gave a little speech, and just sold a bunch of 40th merchandise and walked away. You know, dropped the mic and walk away.
I mean, you get your typical, you know, your themed cupcakes and things of that nature, and I'm sure they'll give away a pin on that day. But if there's anything beyond that, like I said, like something like a, you know, a wishes tag or anything like that, it would be amazing. Yeah. But I don't expect anything like that from the Walt Disney Company in recent time. Although I will say that I've been surprised about some things, and I don't want to jump ahead too much. But like, for example, the Symphony in the Stars fireworks show at Disney Hollywood Studios, that's also going to include Star Wars. At the D23 Expo, they mentioned that it was only going to be on the weekends. And then now when they announced it again, they said every night. So who knows? I mean, perhaps, you know, they will up the ante on their celebration of Magic Kingdom's 45th. But obviously, as we know, or as we speculate,
that was the same announcement they said, Season of the Force. And then they redacted that. And anything can change. That's the one great thing about Disney. Once, you know, if you stick around, it'll change. Something will happen, or they'll take something away, bring something back. And, you know, I agree with what you said. There's not a lot happening over the Magic Kingdom, and it's kind of disappointing, actually, to be honest with you.
Well, I also hope that they finish the hub area, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised, actually, the hub wasn't completed before Christmas time. Most of it is done at this point. You have the bypasses done. You have, obviously, the center of the hub is done. The only thing that's remaining is now just the ramps up to the castle itself. They've opened them up at times during the Christmas season, obviously, because traffic is just impossible through there if you don't have that open. But they still are, like, they worked on the right side, opened the left side, then opened the left side, worked on the right. No, so they've been opening in that sense, but they haven't finished it. But it's coming out kind of nice. And definitely looks bigger, and now you have the new spires on the sides. I think a lot of that work is also, you know, for traffic flow purposes, but I think also since Shanghai Disneyland is probably the biggest thing happening at Disney in general in 2016, I think they wanted to be able to say, look, this castle's pretty big too. Because obviously what's going to happen in Shanghai
is also interesting, you know, the castle stage, they put up, two scissor stands with, you know, LED lights on them. I'm surprised they just didn't put the scissor stands come up during the shows and then they go back down. But I mean, why didn't they just build those lights into those two turrets that they built there? You know, hide them in the top of the turret. And
I'm assuming it has to be a placement, but I think they could have built in the
turret tops could have come up and they could have been completely hidden in there. And
I railed against Disney about all the poles that they've added to the hub. Because, like, when you go to Disneyland, especially, Disneyland still feels like a park. I mean, you have benches, as you mentioned many a time in conversation setting. And you have, obviously, trees in the center of the hub. Now the trees are still, quote-unquote, in the center, but they're pushed back away. So when you're actually on the hub where Walt is, it's kind of barren. I'm not a fan of the look, honestly. And I'm not trying to disparage what they've done. Obviously, they've improved a lot of the materials.
By removing those things, does that give them the ability to allow more people into the park?
But I mean,
as far as like whatever the capacity was, did the capacity for the park now change? Like, in terms of like whatever the fire department has determined to be X number of people can enter the park.
I'm going to say yes because they have more egress, and then they've added that extra exit by the Plaza restaurant. So I'm going to say that they probably have increased the amount of people just because there's an ease of egress now. I mean, there's nothing really in your way. If you're standing in the middle, you can really run in any direction to an exit more easily.
We'll find out during New Year's Eve because they usually publish those numbers.
I mean, I wouldn't scream fire in the middle of the plaza in the hub to find out, but I'm thinking I'm gonna say yes, and you know what, I think at the holiday time they do push the limits the capacity of the parks anyway.
I saw John kind of nodding his head in disagreement or in disbelief.
Oh, what? Oh, screaming fire is the hub? Not that anybody can hear you.
No, just because of the comment Raphael said about the park benches and how Disneyland is more of a park versus the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it's a constant consternation for me. When you go to Disneyland, and a buddy of mine went the other day and he came back and he said, you know, I went to Disneyland for the first time and it just felt different. And I'm like, yeah, you did, because Walt built it. You know, when you come out here, it's a different feel, and it's great. I was there a couple of weeks ago and was trying to watch the fireworks, and they could cram a whole lot of people there, but there's no place to sit. There's no place to kind of relax comfortably. And I think it looks great. I think it's great that they could get people in and out, but again, I think it goes back to the one thing that Disney does really, really well is crowd control. And I don't think they're really concerned about crowd comfort. I think it's just crowd control. Get them in, get them out, get them around, get a lot of people to be able to see the fireworks. Yay, get out. You know, go through the shops. Make sure you get your souvenirs.
Spend money.
Yeah.
And
you know what I think? I think Disneyland is, Disneyland to me, is just the park that has a lot of heart.
I will say that a lot of people
Absolutely.
That park has heart because that's the park, as you said, that Walt built, which is Magic Kingdom now seems to be more of, and I hate to say it because I do love the parks. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, we're all podcasters and bloggers here, but it's just becoming more of a money grab. You know, I have to see it, and it's just, you know, it's disparaging. And I know you guys don't want to be disparaging, and I'm very positive. I like it.
Right.
You can't help but see dollar signs every time you see a park bench get removed in order for more people to be shoved in a corner.
Right. And the thing about it that scares me a little bit is, the thing about Disneyland is it's Walt. Even California Adventure doesn't have that kind of feel. But what is keeping the numbers of people who love Walt Disney? Because, you know, I have a constant conversation with several people about Universal versus Disney, and the fact that Universal can build and do all these great attractions in the same time frame that it's taken us to store to get to the point where we're almost thinking about maybe kind of opening, you know, Pandora, if, you know, if it ever gets finished and we have a broken Yeti and we have all these crazy things that, you know, we just can't seem to get fixed. Once the generation of the nostalgia is gone, then what happens? That's what I'm afraid of. That's what scares me the most.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I've talked about, and I always got like weird looks because I always mentioned that Magic Kingdom has never had an e-ticket attraction built since Splash Mountain. And to me, when they add a new Fantasyland, it just basically showed how bad, you know, what's considered old Fantasyland was. Because like even Into Small World, which is a staple attraction that we all love it, and what you're talking about is the nostalgia factor, especially since, you know, we've grown up there with our kids, we take our kids there, and it's kind of just a, you know, a nostalgia thing. But if you were to build that attraction today, you would not use dolls that just, you know, bob them and their heads. I mean, they would do a lot more. So the truth is that, you know, there's times where, you know, we all have a little bit of a Disney blinder on, but especially fans really commit to that. And I think sometimes it's good to take a step back and think, you know, where should this park be if I were starting or building Magic Kingdom again? How would it look like? And when you look at it from that frame of reference, you start to get a little worried about where Magic Kingdom is. Yeah. That being said, it's obviously,
you know, the most popular. Talk about the nostalgia factor, and so many people grew up going to Disneyland, I mean, or Disney World. How old were you guys the first time you went to a Disney park?
13.
How old were you, Tony?
13.
Okay. I was 18. 18 and hated it. And I didn't come back until I was 35 and loved every second of it.
Oh, wow.
Wow. See, I went, I was 16, sophomore. Yeah. So I was 16 the first time.
That's Walt Disney World.
Well, yeah, I went to Walt Disney World. Yeah. And the things that I love that, you know, a lot of times people say as far as being nostalgia rides that are now gone and are replaced by something new. But when you're that age, chances are many people don't like that kind of attraction. But I loved Snow White and I loved Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And I'm so glad those are still at Disneyland, since those things people kind of, it's those are the attractions that get thrown away at Disney World.
No, and I totally understand that point, because there's no doubt that for kids especially, some of the one, you know, these, like, let's say Mission Space, how many kids are going to ride that ride? You know, whereas World of Motion, the kids could have ruined it. And so sometimes Disney makes decisions to replace older attractions that, while may not have the newest technology, still serve the broader audience. So I do think those things have to be taken into consideration. But I do think that even the changes that Disneyland has made to update It's a Small World, we've never gotten them here. Like just adding the characters and it just adds a little bit of Disney into that ride, and gives you something to talk about, something new. Whereas the Magic Kingdom, really, after they built New Fantasyland, there's nothing coming new except for Skipper's Canteen, which, if you really look at it, the history, there was already a restaurant there at the opening or near the opening of the Magic Kingdom. So this is not really like, yes, they're adding something new. And for all of us, it's going to be a great experience, obviously themed to the Jungle Cruise, which we all love. But if you look at the grand scheme of the park, it's just adding capacity that was already there at the beginning of the opening of the park. But they had then.
And here's the other thing. So the Magic Kingdom really can't expand its borders. It, you know, there's so much infrastructure now around it that, you know, they can't go out to any of the sides or backs or, you know, so, you know, it'll be interesting what they try to do.
I mean, I do think they had some expansion plans. Mm-hmm. Remember when they were first and originally announced New Fantasyland behind Storybook Circus was where Pixie Hollow was going to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like the major expansion space that they have. But then you start turning Magic Kingdom kind of into Disneyland's, what I could consider a problem, because I don't really like what Disneyland's doing with Star Wars Land. Adding that kind of a junk into Disneyland, it feels a little weird to me. I mean, maybe that's because I didn't grow up with Disneyland as my park per se. Maybe I don't know the history enough in that regard, but it seems a little odd to place this on, like, Disneyland's lands are very classical themed, to just plop Star Wars there. Like, if it had been placed in Disney California Adventure, I would never blink an eye, because that park is such a hodgepodge to begin with, because of obviously the history of, a sad history that now is becoming a great history. But Disneyland feels weird, and I actually wouldn't want to see that at the Magic Kingdom.
There's one other plot.
That's the only plot of land that I really think.
There's one other place, if they get really desperate.
Expansion area.
Tom Sawyer Island. They'll build an attraction on Tom Sawyer Island. They'll build a bridge right out to it, and they'll be done. There'll be no boats, no nothing. Just boom. One attraction on an island.
There is so much wasted space in this area that we commonly call Tomorrowland. If they would just fix that.
Yeah.
I just want to see all the angry comments that
if they would just update Tomorrowland and make it Tomorrow-E-Land. I mean, just make it Tomorrowland. I cannot beat this drum hard enough. I've got blisters on my calluses. I've been beating the drum so stinking hard. So, I love Stitch.
They should put an Apple store there.
Stitch.
They should put an Apple store in Tomorrowland.
I'm going to turn you off. You're an idiot. So... I love Stitch, but if you took the Stitch ride out and the Monsters, Inc. thing is great, but it could be updated. Just put a couple of new attractions there, but, you know, make some more sense of the place and give it a little bit more of a modern feel to it. It's very retro, and I like the retro, but it's not Tomorrowland. It's
yesterday.
Oh, there's no doubt that Tomorrowland is, in my opinion, is just sitting there just taking up space right now, because they replaced what was a great attraction in Alien Encounter. It was a scary attraction for a lot of people, and I understand why they may have wanted to remove it. They always gave the excuse that people, and it's probably not an excuse, it's probably true, that a lot of guests would go there first. And that would be a very crazy Disney experience to have first. But as part of a well-rounded Magic Kingdom experience, I thought that ride was pretty cutting edge at the time and really advanced attractions at the Magic Kingdom. But when they put Stitch, I mean, let's face it, that was
that was a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Layover, another...
You know, it wouldn't be that.
So, and then the Laugh Floor is actually a good attraction, I think, but it doesn't feel Tomorrowland-ish. It doesn't feel like, and really, what is Tomorrowland in reality right now? You have a Tomorrowland Speedway with combustion engine vehicles.
They should be hybrids,
around.
At least.
It's just like the Tomorrowland attractions that to me still fit Tomorrowland are clearly Space Mountain, even though we didn't get the upgrades that Disneyland did. And of course, Tomorrowland People Mover. But outside of that, anything at Tomorrowland that goes, I would not be sad about. Obviously, the Carousel Progress is still near and dear to my heart, but I would actually like to see that move somewhere else to Epcot or somewhere where
we're going
to
say, Aljon?
Kind of be like
I was going to say, don't forget about the Astro Orbiter.
Yeah.
The only thing is, if you were to move Carousel Progress
and take that out of Tomorrowland and move it to, say, Epcot, you're putting it where? In Future World, again, where it still makes no sense.
Look, it could make sense if you...
Well, first of all, that's another story for five years about future. I'm sorry, Aldo?
And having in Walt Disney World an actual Disney museum, not similar or not unlike the Walt Disney Family Museum, but something there where things like that, older attractions, an Imagineering hub, something could be put in permanent display for people to visit on a regular basis.
Can they learn about
the history of audio animatronics. They can learn about the World's Fair. They can learn about innovations of Walt and film and go through something bigger than just the D23, Walt movie that's in their one man's dream.
Right.
And then they could put a Mickey's of Glendale there. That could be their big shop.
Exactly right. And they can either do it at Downtown Disney. They could do it as a separate standalone. They can do it as an addition to Magic Kingdom, which would be great. Right. And actually, they could theme the Carousel of Progress into a Walt Disney museum that has a futuristic look, looking back on the life that was Walt Disney and the contributions that he and his Imagineers made to pop culture, and still continue to have Carousel of Progress there to fix everything. Bam. Right. Done.
Dude, I'm broke, but I'm raining money on that, man.
I mean, we should end the podcast with that. We could crowdfund that right now, but my problem is that I honestly feel that the Disney company, they have done moves like they just brought Walt's desk back to the Disney lot, but more often than not they're trying to make the Disney name separate from Walt Disney. So I don't know that anything like that would ever take off within the Walt Disney company, which is sad because I think we've kind of beat
the hell out of the Magic Kingdom.
Beat the horse off of the flesh off the horse on that, which is all great. I love the discussion. Don't misunderstand. But we need to keep moving. We have another park. We have three more parks.
Yeah.
And a shopping and dining district that we need to go through. So why don't we jump over to Epcot? And let's jump over to Epcot and find out if there's anything. Oh, God. If there's anything that's not Frozen related that we're all looking forward to. I have heard a rumor. I heard this like 2 days ago. I heard that there's going to be updates or a refurb and or an overhaul of Illuminations Reflections of Earth.
Good.
At this point, it's strictly rumor. I was watching it the other night, and it's still, the music is very powerful to me. Mm-hmm. I love it. But it is, You know, once you've seen it 100 times, you've seen it 100 times.
Right.
So I think that even the holiday tag, I don't know if you guys have seen the holiday tag. The holiday tag was great. But, you know, for the first couple of minutes of the holiday tag, it looks like they light 75 giant sparklers in the water. Uh-huh. And you're like, ooh, that's awful. I mean, awesome. No, it's really awesome. A buddy of mine was there and he says, yeah, I keep hearing rumors that they're going to update this. And I'm like, that's a good rumor. So that is purely rumor. That's what I would look forward to. I don't know if they would do that in 2016, but I would love for Illuminations, Reflections of Earth to get an update.
Right. But you know what? We hear that every year about Illuminations, and then nothing ever happens. So,
well, I have a quick fix for you. Ready to hear it?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
So, with all of the musicians and producers that are under Disney's wing, they could do a remix by Michael Giacchino and literally redo Reflections of Earth and modernize it for the year 2016. They could do it. They could do it tastefully. They could redo the lights. They could redo the fireworks and still have the same type of feeling, but modernizing it by doing a special remix. If it takes, great. If it doesn't, that's fine. Go back to the old show. Right. But they have so many great musicians and producers that could do that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say remix, and then all of a sudden, everything old is new again.
I can see it.
Fresh show,
like they do every few years for the theme song for Criminal Minds. They always
update
it just a little bit.
Yeah, they always refresh it so that there's always something new to pick out.
I could see it now, buddy. I could see it now. It just we belong. God, da 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 da. Let it go.
Why did you have to bring that in?
And it wouldn't be like, it'd be like,
somebody has to sing it, right?
And freeze them.
Wow.
Sorry.
Way to take an idea. He hijacked it and then remixed it for himself.
I mean, definitely the pressure there is going to be because you have Rivers of Light opening next year, and that's what I think is going to – it's going to be tough for Rivers of Light, obviously, to compete with a fireworks show because it's probably not going to have very many, if any, fireworks. Mm. We do know it's going to have fire, but as far as fireworks, you're not going to see that. But I do think that it's going to be an impressive show. They're going to have barges that float across the water with projections on them, and I don't – think that when you see Reflections of Earth and you see these, the problem with Reflections of Earth, especially for us that have been to Disney now, is that once you've seen, you know, the show, the nighttime shows over there, and you come back, you're like,
it is maybe for the first time, I think we also take for granted,
especially with today's month,
see the shows a lot because we're annual pass holders and we've grew up with it. So, I mean,
I understand that, but
that's true.
But nobody knows that other than the hardcore fans. Yeah, so it's not
everybody knows that, Raf. You have people that come to the park for the first time, and they might come there.
No, I get that, but do you think that's the majority? Do you think that's the majority of first timers?
Look at how much growth
15,
the park has gotten to the point where we can't walk anymore. They go there. Some of them don't see it.
No, I get that.
You know, and we're looking at billions and billions of people that go through that gate.
And think of all the people you have that come internationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
most of those people are going to be first timers. If they're not first timers, maybe they came 10, 15, 20 years ago.
I'm saying is it's new to them. And so I don't want to take for granted the fact that some people have seen Reflections of Earth. As much as we have. And yes, I think that it could, it does definitely need a refresh, in my opinion. I don't disagree with that. But I also think that I think we take for granted as hardcore Disney fans, especially with the parks, that people have the same knowledge base that we do, because I don't believe that at all. I see cast members that feel that they're hardcore Disney fans that don't know anything about the parks.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. I get all what you're saying. It's just that Disney used to be at the forefront of innovation, and especially when it came to theme parks. I mean, in the 90s, you had shows on Travel Channel talking about the latest and greatest attractions coming to every single theme park.
When there was an anniversary, there was a few attractions that opened. And I remember you had Expedition Everest, Soarin'. and there were two others, because remember they were on the tickets that year, you know, for whatever, I don't remember what year that was, but all of the park tickets had one of the four or three new attractions that.
Yeah, that was, wasn't that tied to the Disneyland Celebration? I forgot the name of it right now. But the point is that I just feel like there hasn't been enough innovation at these parks. Obviously, now we're getting Frozen. We're getting something at Epcot. And obviously, the other thing that we haven't mentioned so far is Soarin' Around the World, which is also going to be an interesting new addition, especially with the new theater.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Soarin' Around the World. What do we know about that so far? We know they're adding another theater, obviously. We know it's a whole new movie.
Movies.
What else do we know? Do we know?
Isn't it supposed to start and end in Epcot?
Oh, really?
That's what I thought. It was supposed to. Yeah. I had heard somewhere that it's supposed to be as if you're leaving from Epcot, and out in California, it's going to be as if you're leaving from California? DCA.
Yeah, it would make sense that they made that change, because that's been a gripe for a long time with Disney fans, because it just didn't make sense having Soarin' over California and here Disneyland. So it would be nice if they definitely make that change, and it shouldn't be a difficult one. They would just
I hope they at least fly over their own parks. I mean, I'd like to see a little flyover of Tokyo and Hong Kong and Shanghai and Paris, you know. Yeah, fly over each of the parks.
Oh, I mean, I'd love to,
fly over the world. Let's fly over your own parks. Yeah. I know there's stuff that they did on the Great Wall of China that they released.
I would hope that at least at the very minimum, you know, with the new movies, they upgrade the projection to HD. Because I am so sick of seeing the hairs and the little line cracks and the little spots on the movie. It drives me crazy.
The screens and the film are all going to be upgraded to whatever the biggest and best technology is going to be. So,
yeah, have you all taken like a backstage of the Soarin' and the screen? Have you been behind the screen? Mm-mm. Okay,
no.
I'm going to tell you a giant secret. You ready?
No, I have not.
The screen is metal, and it's perforated. It's got thousands and thousands of tiny holes in it. Mm-hmm. And it is loud as
all get out.
Yeah, standing there, you're like, what the? I don't know at what volume that is, but it is loud. I think it's theater B. The screen's got some larger holes where you're like, you know, what the hell? I mean, could we not fix that? But they really can. It's very hard to fix that metal screen. So maybe they're going to fix that with something else. And I know that it's actually film that sit on these huge flat tables, flat things that spin through the projector. So hopefully they will get rid of a projection system and put in, you know, some kind of digital media that, you know, that, 4K. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That would be the perfect thing. Like 10K, you know, let's stop it. Let's go 10K, baby.
Yeah, go push the envelope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, that'll really make that pop. You know, that
I think
show.
The other thing that they will be doing, from my understanding, is that they will be doing different combinations and itineraries similar to what they do to Star Tours.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, too.
So that when you ride, it gives you an opportunity to have multiple, destinations and random destinations, which is good because you want that rewritability.
You want the repeat
in there. Yeah, yeah. You want those repeat people to come in. And I think it's great because you never know what ride you're going to get, what itinerary you're going to get. You could be going to San Diego. You could be going to Mount Rushmore. Who knows?
Maybe we'll get new smells.
Maybe you'll get new smells. Maybe you'll get... Figment skunk butt.
No.
I hope they don't fly too close to the Bronx.
I was going to say they're flying too close to the Bronx.
Hey, yo. You know, you sleep with the fish, Donnie.
I smell desperation and death. Oh, we must be close to New Jersey.
Oh! Well, oh, my gosh.
All right, so what else?
Sleep
what else?
One eye open, Donnie.
I always do. Hey, I sleep next to shotguns, all I'm saying. So what else are you looking forward to, Epcot? Let's go ahead and get into it.
There are two things.
Hang on.
Ready? I need to get paid before I say the word.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. You ready? I'll do it, T.
Go ahead.
We have two new Frozen attractions coming. So we have the Frozen Ever After. Frozen Ever After, or as I like to call it, I can't say that live. So we have Frozen Ever After coming, which will enable guests.
When hell frozen over?
Well, no, I was going there. That will enable guests to ride through Arendelle and meet and greet all your favorite Frozen characters.
I can't wait.
I can wait for a long time for that one. But I think that we need at least another attraction. When they close down, what was the ride that they closed?
Armageddon?
No, what was the ride that they closed?
Maelstrom?
Maelstrom, yeah. When they closed down Maelstrom.
Maelstrom?
I know a lot of people that bothered in a tremendous way. But I think that it's great that they're opening something there. I'm not really a super huge fan. If you've ever listened to this podcast for more than 1 second, I'm over Frozen. But I'm glad that they're starting to open the stuff up. I don't know when the Frozen Land is opening up. But
hey, look, when Frozen tanks after a few years, if it does, I mean, I see the momentum growing. I don't see it stopping.
Mm-mm.
But if it does, they can always make it part of the Spirit of Norway again and do something to kind of change it and tweak it so that it can be more of a cultural tie-in to something real in Norway as opposed to Arendelle, a fictional town that doesn't exist.
Right. You know, right. See, I'm going to miss the video at the end. I was one of the few people that actually sat through that video. And I'm the only person that the cast members have ever had walk up and go, can I skip the ride and just watch the video?
It's a great way to cool down on a hot summer day.
I agree. I agree. Yeah.
I actually did ask a cast member that, and they were like,
"There's the fun me,
like, what?" I'm before. Like, I'm guessing nobody's ever asked that. He's like, "No. Why?" I said, "I just want to watch the video. I just want to skip the attraction. It's like a 25-minute wait."
Well, hey,
it's like, okay, sure, go they might, have
they
a
might,
seat.
They might update that video now.
I mean, all the 80s hair and fashion and the shoulder pads.
Big-ass computer screens. I mean,
yeah, that's awesome. Man. Those are the days.
I was talking to three of the Norwegian college program women, and they're saying that they're kind of sad that, you know, they're kind of losing, you know, that representation of their country. You know, one little piece of that is going away, you know, put in this movie attraction, you know, based on a movie. So they were a little upset with that. You know, I was even asking them, I said, you know, how is the, does the food served there, you know, represent your country? And they kind of laughed like, no, not really.
The only thing that they have that you, I can't say Norway because I haven't been to Norway, but I've been to Finland, which of course Finland, Sweden, and Norway share very similar like cuisine.
Right.
Is in Finland, herring, and herring. It's like breakfast, lunch, dinner. You go to any buffet, and it's tons of herring. Every which way you could think of having herring.
Yeah.
But they also had, a lot of the restaurants have things like bear and reindeer and stuff that we don't eat in the U.S.
You eat Rudolph?
But there is the herring on the menu at...
Waka waka, they just had my cousin.
Exactly. All right, so is there anything else in Epcot that we know is coming in 2016?
More restaurants? I don't think
nothing.
So. I mean, we understand there's been a rumor.
That's it. It's
frozen. There's a rumor that we heard that they will be voted. They're going to have some maybe a restaurant shut down for refurbishment.
There's been rumor that Rose and Crown, but that's been for a few years, and that's from I don't know why it hasn't been done. Because the source that I heard this from is actually a legitimate source to find that information.
What about Interventions East and West? Are they? You know, they put in you know, the Glidden sponsor, are we getting anything, any other technologies or showcasing anything over there besides paint?
Not that I've heard of.
I mean, there's definitely been rumors about things there, but nothing concrete that I would even want to speculate about. But I mean, my biggest problem with Epcot right now is that, as we were alluding here, in World Showcase, you're seeing the Disney Vacation or what I call a Magic Kingdom number two of making of Epcot, because you just have characters flooding now everywhere that they can, even with the Food and Wine Festival, which I didn't mind this at all. I actually thought this was a good thing, but they put Remy in that, and that you could find Remy in the Food and Wine Festival with a little map. But anywhere that they can find a place to put a character, they're doing that. Now, there's obviously the positive side of that. There's no doubt that more people ride the Mexico ride now that Donald's a part of it than before. But there's no doubt that the historical or any sort of cultural stuff gets lost in the process. Now, I think they are well aware with that with Frozen. I think they're going to try to appease people by any which way they can. They're going to try to make sure that they talk about Norway because they've heard everybody talk about it. But I still think at the end of the day, people are not going to ride it because it's Norwegian. They're going to ride it because there's two sisters.
And where does that come from? That comes from your
and then with Future World,
hardcore fans. They come from the casual Disney fans that come to the park.
Oh, but I'm not against Frozen. I'm not even against Frozen being at Disney parks. It's just a question of why would you choose to do it at Epcot, which is supposed to be the prototypical community of tomorrow, right? And Walt's park, you know. So really, to me, Frozen belongs in its own. I mean, honestly, I thought it would be a great expansion of the Magic Kingdom, just like they did it at Tokyo DisneySea, and they're building Arendelle in Tokyo DisneySea. Where we're getting here is a makeover of a ride that was already there. They didn't even add
Walt Disney Imagineers. So I just approached the country to actually help spur development of a refurbishment, but they declined to do it.
Yeah, I think that I heard that too.
And yeah, I think Tony, you know,
correct.
So it's not like.
Yeah, but I also think that's what they put in the press as well.
If that's the case, that's fine, you know, and that's,
you don't
that's
think
good. That, at least they tried. So,
well, yeah, they told them, if you don't give us money to fund refurbishing
because it's this, long in the tooth,
we will turn it Frozen. And they were like, okay.
But that still doesn't answer the question of, like, do we think this is the correct, you know, path for Epcot to be taking? You already have Future World where a ride, I mean, Soarin is an incredible attraction. But what does Soarin' have to do with the future? And that's in Future World. And then you have, now you're adding Frozen. What does that have to do with the World Showcase? I mean, there's no doubt that a movie like Frozen can help to illuminate Norwegian culture, whereas some people may not have otherwise discovered it. But that's about it. You know, it's not really diving. Correct. But you could use it as a vehicle, yeah, you know, to illuminate the cultures of people that otherwise would, like I was saying, you know, they may be completely disinterested to it. So at least they're, you know, they're entertained
this, and they took out the facts that Future World sensical aspect of the Living Seas and took all that out. And then it's the Seas with Nemo and Friends. That's not shocking. Now, granted, they're using the Seas with Nemo and Friends to bring in people and then they get an education. I totally get that. But that's just what they're going to do. They're going to put product placement, which totally, you know, the synergistic nature of what Disney does. And then we take out great attractions that are Future World or what. And it's, you know, Future World's going to just become a name, kind of like Tomorrowland, you know. Yeah. But the thing about it that bothers me is we have We only have so many spots that you can put stuff in World Showcase. And what really got me was when I saw the walls go up next to Norway, I was like, dude, they're building another, you know, and I'm like, this is not big enough to put an entire pavilion. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the signs go up for, you know, the Frozen thing. I was like, oh, yay.
The Royal Summer House.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm still holding out for the bullet train to go from Japan to China. Let's bring that attraction back.
Yeah. The Africa Pavilion finally.
Okay, so what do we think they're going to do with Captain EO? Is he coming back? Is he finally dead?
He's gone.
You think he's gone for good? So the question.
No, Captain EO.
So there's, you know, the rumor always floats around. So Captain EO's gone. They're finally going to refurb the whole thing. I've heard rumors that they're bringing back the old Figment, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Isn't Frozen supposed to be gone in?
I've heard that Tony Baxter's involved with the project.
I hear they're going to put Muppet Vision 3D in there.
4D.
Yeah, it's 4D.
Well, eventually, you're right. Eventually, they're going to have to do something about that attraction overall. But right now, I mean, they've announced that they're going to do the, you know, the Disney shorts, and that's what they're going to be doing is they're going to continue preview. Basically, Disney Animation is using that as their, you know, promotional
center. Except for
center.
The time and that they put something in One Man Stream
well.
Theater.
So,
which was stupid.
Correct, but I don't think they can use that space any. Yeah, I don't think they can use that space anymore because of the future plans for Disney Hollywood Studios. So I think this becomes the permanent space for that, sadly, because obviously we would all want to see a future attraction. But there are going to be movie tie-ins throughout the year. I mean, you have huge movies coming out from Walt Disney Studios. You have Moana is going to be the big one at the end of the year. But at the beginning of the year, you have Zootopia, which is also a very good-looking film. But again, it's, you know, it's just kind of weird that they're using something in Future World for this space, you know, in that fashion. But at the same time, it's better than having, in my opinion, Captain EO, which is, you know, about someone who passed away.
I never saw Captain EO the first time around. So when they brought it back, it was all new to me.
Yeah, it was good. No, and it's a great show. There's no doubt. I mean, Michael Jackson is very good at what he does. So,
it the Magic Eye Hologram Theater, bringing you the actual Captain EO hologram back to life.
Featuring Tupac.
Back to life.
I'm surprised they don't sell. Like, now that everybody, you know, there's so many people with 3D TVs that they didn't decide to put Captain EO on a disc and sell it.
Not that easy because... Yeah. Captain EO has to be reformatted from the way they shot it, and
then it would be really expensive because you'd have to buy the chair and couch and love seat ensemble that would bounce.
It would rumble,
you know, and it would rumble.
Then you'd have to have the magic eye green laser.
Although that could be a good market for Disney. We might be onto something there.
The Captain EO rumble seat.
Are you ready to rumble?
Exactly.
Well, we still have much more to come, but we're going to have to wait until next week for part two of our Disney Parks 2016 year in preview with our guests, Raphael, Kristen, and Al John. And we want to thank you guys for taking time to listen. We want to encourage you to go over to DisneyParksPodcast.com, subscribe to our newsletter, make sure that you subscribe to our blog, and please, if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us some stars, make sure that you let us know what you like, what you'd like to hear, leave us a comment, and you can even leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you there, too. We look forward to bringing you the second part of this roundtable discussion, and as Tony always says, we'll see ya in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.